Father, we thank you for your word and the Holy Spirit that administrates the word. Would grow us, Lord, challenge us, mature us to look more and more like you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. We're going to continue our series this morning on politically incorrect Jesus. Let's take our Bibles. This will go right in line with what he's been doing this morning. And let's say this together. This is my Bible. I am who I am because the I am says I am. One more time. I am who I am because the I am says I am. And he says we are forever free and forgiven of all our sin. And he says we are eternally his and kept by his Spirit. We are his righteous, redeemed representatives, and we will not back down or back off these truths. Amen. Doesn't matter what somebody else says, doesn't matter what our feelings or emotions say. That is the truth. Well, our hearts have been stirred in this series for our young people, for our children, our grandchildren, as well as stirred in regard to the divisiveness of man's politics. Man's politics will always divide. God's Spirit unites. Amen. God's Spirit unites. And, you know, politics is nothing more than the jockeying for power and authority. But it's all fake because Jesus has it all. Jesus has all authority in heaven and in earth. All politics is humans jockeying for position and authority that's false. It's not even real power and authority because Jesus has it all. You can take heart in that the power of love will always trump the love of power. The power of love. See, love is the strongest force in the universe and will win. God is love. And the power of love will always trump the love of power. We've been praying and believing in regard to our young people that our children and grandchildren shall lead, not follow, that peer pressure will shift towards godliness in this nation. The statistics of this world will not overtake our children or our grandchildren. And we continually, everybody say continually, we continually raise the banner of truth over our children and grandchildren. They will not let what others do or say decide who they are, but they'll let God's word determine who they are. Let's go back to 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets, there's a lot of deceptive information in the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen, somebody. But I love that. The Antichrist spirit is not in direct opposition of Jesus. It's a counterfeit Jesus. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world listens. We're of God, and whoever knows God hears us. They hear and listen to what we're saying. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we're not going to believe every spirit. Amen? We're going to test the spirits because of all the deception and information that's out there. I pray as a church family that we're uniting together around the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He's the Messiah, the anointed one. He's God come in the flesh. We are uniting around who he says he is, despite a culture who says he's not who he says he is. Now, they don't come right out and say, Jesus is a liar. They don't say, well, Jesus is not God. They just say, hey, all these other gods are the same as Jesus. That's what they say. And while it's true, everybody in this country has the right to worship whatever God they think is God. But don't take away my right to say that Jesus Christ is the only way to life in a relationship with a living God. Don't take away my right to say it. Today's culture says we can have Jesus as long as he is A Jesus that would never say anyone's going to hell. But he did say it. As long as he would never say he's the only way to the Father. Well, he said that too. That he would never offend anyone with truth. Well, he did that. And as long as he would never say anything they were doing was a sin. Oh my goodness. We talked last week that Jesus is the perfect balance of grace and truth. Amen. The woman caught in adultery, he offered her grace. Amen. Yes. Grace and mercy for her. But did he speak truth to her? Yes. Did he actually identify what she was doing was sin? Yes. He did. He's the blessed balance, and that's what we want to be. That's how we want to walk this out. Let's go to Luke 23. We didn't get to this one. I just want to conclude this thought on Jesus being the balance of grace and truth, as we see in John chapter 1, verse 14. So this is Luke 23. We'll start with verse 32. There were two others, criminals, led with Jesus to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right, one on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. Boy, isn't that interesting? If you are the Son of the living God, if you are the Christ, do something for yourself. Well, that would be Luciferianism. Does that sound familiar? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. That's what's happening. Hey, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. And by the way, save us. In Matthew 16:25, Jesus said, if anyone tries to save himself, but if you lose your life for me, you'll find it. Isn't this just like the culture? Be selfish. If you're the Son of God, if you have all this power, serve yourself. That is the deception of mankind. He's not saying, I have power for you to save your own life. I'm going to give you power to give yours. Hello, modern day America. Are you listening? I'm not going to give you power to cut somebody's ear off. Jesus had to bend down and put it back on. Peter, wrong power. But in fairness to Peter, Jesus spoke spirit. John 6:63, my words are spirit and life. And Peter speaks fallen human. So he likens power to take life rather than power to give life. So not surprising at all, they're saying save yourself. But immediately, if he turns selfish on the cross, he's no longer the image of God. Isn't that something? That would be sin if he were to save himself. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed Jesus and said, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. My goodness. But the other answering rebuked him and said, do you not fear God? Seeing you're under the same condemnation, we are here justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. So he lives a whole life of sin, but right there at the end, he acknowledges the lordship and majesty of Jesus Christ and amen. You'll get to see him and talk to him one day in heaven. The other guy, he ain't there. Is it? That may not be politically correct because in our culture, everybody's saved. Everybody has a religion. Everything will work. There's many ways to God. It doesn't matter. Well, that's not what the Bible says, not what the Bible teaches. How about, let's go to John chapter 4, verse 39 through 42. One more example of a perfect blend of grace and truth. Many of the Samaritans, remember the woman of Samaria, right? Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." He went to the town. Listen to how gracious he is. We talked about last week, Colossians 4:6, that we want our words saturated in grace, but tempered with truth. Can I get a witness? He wasn't celebrating her five husbands, et cetera, et cetera. He wasn't saying, you know what? We should accept that. We should tolerate that. We should celebrate it, and then we should legislate it. He didn't have, she's convicted by the presence of grace and truth. She's convicted. He did so well with her. Think about this. She went and told everybody in the town about her own personal sin. She went and said, "He told me everything I ever did. All my five husbands, the life I was living, he knew it." I would say that's an empowering grace. She didn't feel condemned. She wasn't ashamed. She had an encounter with a blessed balance of grace and truth and recognized this man is God. Woo, amen. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, smart people. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. We know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." This is not a religious figure. This is not a guy starting a religion. Jeremy touched on from the very beginning of this series, he could have said, when she talked about you worship on this mountain, we worship on that mountain, Jews and Samaritans. He said, "Hey, none of that. I'm not here to support any of that. There's coming a day when every human being will worship God in spirit and in truth. Not a physical location, but a spiritual one." Amen. Why? Because he didn't come to start a religion or repair one. He came to restore a relationship that had been lost in the Garden of Eden from the very beginning. A spirit to spirit, heart to heart, thought to thought, day to day relationship with a living God. Amen. That's what he came to restore. And young people, that's what we want for you. Verse 42. We want you to know him for yourselves. That's why so much of this series is just scripture being presented to you that Jesus, where Jesus says who he is. You cannot have a relationship with God, get to heaven, however you want to equate that. You can't do it through somebody else's faith. You have to make a decision yourself and say, "This is who I believe Jesus Christ is." And that's our prayer for every one of you. Verse 42 right there. Today's culture, this woman would have five lawyers. There'd be people picketing Jesus' ministry because he made me feel bad about my five husbands. He pointed out I was doing something wrong. He said what I was doing was a sin. That's just intolerance. We have people out there picketing, right? Throwing locks at his head. Come on, somebody. He made me to feel bad, so I'm going to hire five lawyers. She didn't hire five lawyers. She changed. Because she had an encounter with the perfect balance of grace and truth. The love of God was revealed for her. The wisdom of God that he knows everything about you and he still loves you. Amen. Amen. But he spoke truth to that woman and she went and told the whole town what happened. The first evangelist in the Bible was a woman. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. The first evangelist in the Bible was a woman. Deal with it. Hallelujah. You know, brother Ed Kinchelo was telling me the story this week. I don't know what I did with my paper. I'll do the best I can with regurgitating it. But, oh, there it is. Brother Ed Kinchelo has a friend who has a friend, and her name is Tina. And Tina just has a heart for moms who are struggling with maybe having an abortion. And she just has a heart and a ministry for them. And she had caught wind that there was a young lady who was considering having an abortion. And so she was able to get the information. She went to her house and she was there. The pregnant lady was there and there were two other ladies there. And she just went in and shared the heart and the love of Jesus for not only those ladies, but for that baby. And when she walked out of that house, there were three born again women of God in that house. And one baby, amen, that was saved. Now, see, politicians and popular culture want to forbid things like that. I want you to think about that. You can't go in there and say somebody's doing something wrong. You can't minister to someone struggling with homosexuality. Well, that's not love. Love says we can. Now, I don't think we should go in and beat people up with the truth. There's been way too much of that. Probably part of the reason we're in the predicament we're in. But I absolutely rejoice that Christ's Spirit anoints Tina. He's put his passion for these ladies in her heart. And she went right in there and there were three women born again. And you know what? If it becomes illegal, we'll just do it anyway. Fair enough? Just like that whole tax exempt thing I was preaching about last week. Come and get it. I mentioned in this series about types and shadows when I talked about the ram at Abraham's altar. How many of you know that's a type and shadow of Jesus, the sacrifice? And I mentioned even the manna. I believe I said Jesus is the manna. They ate the manna and died. The manna is a type and shadow of Jesus. And he's going to draw that correlation here. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The mystery, everybody say the mystery of the manna. Because it's a revelation that God wants us to get in this series. In Exodus chapter 16 is the mystery of the manna and one of the longest miracles in all the Bible. Think about it. For 40 years in the desert, they'd get up in the morning and there would be this supernatural substance on the ground. Just kind of under the dew. It was white flaky stuff. Guess what manna means? What is it? That's what it means. Because they didn't know what it was. It was white flaky stuff that tasted a little bit like honey. That's what the Bible says. But for 40 years, one of the longest running miracles in all the Bible, 40 years, they get up in the morning and there it would be on the ground. Psalm 78, 24 and 25 says it likens it to angel food. But I don't think it was angel food cake as we know it. All right, let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 28. And they said to him, again, talking about the deity of Jesus, talking about who he is, they said, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." That sounds simple. What is the work required for salvation to be a child of God? Believe on him. That righteousness comes only through him. That life comes only through him. Verse 30, therefore they said to him, "Well, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe in you? What work will you do? Our fathers, they ate the manna in the desert," Exodus 16, "as it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So you're tracking here. They're just saying, prove to us that you're God and we'll believe. Then Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. He gave you white flaky stuff. He didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Okay? Manna, type and shadow. Real bread is coming. "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the whole world. And then they said to him, "Well, Lord, give us this bread always. We'd love to have some." Verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Now in the Aramaic, guys, I looked this up. The Aramaic, this can be translated as, literally he said, "I am the living God, the bread of life." But it translates here for us in New King James, "Lord, give us this bread always. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." Skip to verse 41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I'm the bread which came down from heaven." They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he says, I've come down from heaven? What are they saying? Well, we thought he came from his mama. And he's saying, no, he came from God. Amen. So powerful. All right. They're giving way also here to man's reasoning. Their faith is not in Jesus Christ, that he is who he says he is. Their faith is in their human understanding. And in their rationale, they're saying this guy came from Joseph and Mary. That's what politicians wouldn't tell you. They just think he's a prophet, he's a teacher, whatever. He had a beginning and an end. Jesus said otherwise. Jesus said he has no beginning and end, that he's God. He was in the beginning with God. John 17:5, the glory you gave me from before the world was. Jesus said that. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is God. And I got news for you. That whole one nation under God, the one true and living God. But there is a ploy, an assignment against this nation to have many gods. That's why they want to take it out. All right, let's keep going. Verse 48, I'm the bread of life, Jesus said. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they did. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Wow. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then he said, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh, Son of Man, drink his blood, you don't have life in you. Religion won't give you life, people. He didn't teach just pick a religion. God's all about religion. He didn't say that. He said, there's one way to have life in you, and it's going to be partaking of me on a daily basis. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I'll raise him up on the last day. My flesh is food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I live in him. My goodness. As the living Father sent me and I live because of him, whoever feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. My goodness. My goodness. All right. What can we learn from the manna and the bread of life here? First of all, number one, manna was the only way that God provided for them to live. Did you notice, if you read Exodus 16, that it doesn't say they could have steak on Friday night? It's manna every day, but how about steak on Friday? Maybe a salad on Thursday. There was one way God provided to life, and it was manna. And here's Jesus showing up saying, hey, you know all that manna talk? I'm the bread of life. And there's one way to get to the Father. Amen. There's one way. Not a bunch of ways. There's one way. This is not a buffet. It's not a smorgasbord. We're not going to pick and choose among religions. And people would say, well, that's too dogmatic. No, it's love. God didn't want you to be confused. He doesn't want you confused, choosing among 30 different religions. He wants you to know there's one way to life. Amen. And it is Jesus Christ, Amen. The bread that came down out of heaven. Amen. And gives life to this world. My goodness. They either came the way God provided in the desert, manna. They came that way or they died. If they didn't eat it, they died. John 8:24, Jesus said, if you don't believe I am he, you'll die in your sin. There's only one way to God, yet we live in a culture so politically correct that no one wants to agree with what God himself says. Your silence is just begging me to ad lib on this. I mentioned it last week. We have leaders in the Christian movement. I'm going to say supposed leaders, maybe popular leaders in Christendom that will go on national TV, and because they so crave acceptance, they will deny that Jesus is the only way to God. there is such a epidemic of this need to be accepted. See, and the problem is, isn't it in John 4 where he said, if you knew who was talking to you. Man, when you have a healthy fear and respect of who God is and you know He's Jesus Christ, then, and that He's accepted you, the acceptance of others doesn't carry near as much weight. If you know Him, if you know in whom you have believed, if you know the one you're talking to. Amen. That's what He said in John 4. If you knew who right now was talking to you, how come the church doesn't know Him? Because if we knew Him, we wouldn't be addicted to popularity. Amen or oh me. Amen. Now, I pray if I go on one of those shows that my words are seasoned with salt. Colossians 4, 6. Amen. Full of preservatives. Full of healing. Full of grace and truth. But you know what? It's not that hard to go on one of those shows. And if they simply ask you, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Do you believe that people who don't believe in Jesus, that was the question, that don't believe in Jesus, that they're going to go to hell?
Yes.
Yeah, all you got to do is say, I agree with what He said. Because all I am is His ambassador. I'm not here to argue with you, but I'm going to agree with what He said. And the answer to your question is yes, because He said it. Not because I believe it, because He said it. Does that make sense? That's why witnessing is hard. You think it's up to you. All you got to do is represent His opinion as an ambassador. And so we have to come out of this need for people to love us and accept us and say nice to us, nice things to us and about us. We don't want to offend the other religions. That's your problem. Christianity is not a religion. Now, I know it has been propagated as such. I know it has, but it's not one. And that's why even if they took away all religious tax-exempt status, we keep going. We're not a religion. We're in love with a person. The living God, the one who made the trees and the grass and the flowers and all those things. He made us. We love Him. Amen. That's why we get into trouble. We don't want to offend the other religions. Well, I'm telling you, it's manna or you die. And that is a loving thing to say. Because God says that I should reject all religions because He does. God rejects all religions. What a great thing to say in church. You want to know why? God rejects all religion. He said, I never offered you religion. I gave you my Son. I didn't give you religion. I gave you my Son. I gave you a relationship. And the Son didn't come to start a religion or a Christmas holiday or get you tax exempt status. He didn't come for any of that. He came to restore a relationship that was lost between God and man in the Garden of Eden. That's why He came. Suppose Jesus is the only way. What if what He said is true in John 14, that He is the only way to God? Let's say Jesus is right on that. Shouldn't we tell people? We should. Because truth is loving. Love is not a substitute for truth. We saw that in Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He never said in John 6, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, it's okay. Because there's a lot of other ways to get to God. Amen, somebody. He didn't say that. Matter of fact, did a bunch of them leave after He said that? They thought He was crazy. They thought He was into cannibalism. Did you read the part where Jesus chased after him and said, wait, wait, where are you going? I changed my mind. Where's all my church members going? Or did He stand in truth? What an example. He is the pattern son. Amen. He didn't chase after him thinking, my church is shrinking. I better back off the truth. I better not talk about the blood. We better not do that. People might get offended. If you're, oh boy, Lord. I mean, why would we dumb down church in the name of offending lost people? Do you know that lost people, according to scripture, if it's really God manifesting in your midst, they'll fall down on their knees and acknowledge it? Why? Because God gave them a measure of faith. They're made by Him and for Him. You don't throw, let's throw the Holy Spirit out. Let's throw God out because we don't offend anybody. That's a bad idea. Especially when the only thing we're vending is Jesus. Think about it. We're not vending church membership here. We're vending Jesus. We want you to know Jesus. If you're new here, we want you to know Jesus. That's what we care about. That's the only thing we care about. And that you grow up in all aspects into Him. And just like Brother Robert was saying, we should be more concerned about offending God. Where is our healthy reverence and respect for the living God that we're just going to take control of everything because we know better than Him and we'll just say, God, you can't move because you might offend somebody. He's like, I made that person. Amen. That person's dying to know me. Every person, according to the Gospel of Matthew, is pressing into the kingdom. They're looking for the kingdom of God. Prove it. I'll prove it. Does every human being on the planet want to feel right? Yes. You bet they do. They want to feel peace. And do they want to be happy? They're all looking for righteousness, peace, and joy. And there is no other name through which it can come. And this idea that the church is going to water everything down. What are you offering them? You've got to offer them the living, risen Christ, the King. Amen. I had a good laugh. That was good. Enjoyed that. He didn't say, hey, don't leave. Let me rephrase what I'm saying. My goodness. Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who find it. Whoops. Then he went on to say, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. There were no other means of life and living in Exodus 16. The manna example, there was one way they could live and they would have to partake of that manna. Acts 4:12, yeah, every day. Acts 4:12, salvation exists in no one else. There's no other name given under heaven by which men can be saved. My goodness. Number two. The manna had to be gathered fresh daily. I love this one. Amen. Now, every day, 6 days, you gather enough for yourself. Friday, he'd let you gather enough for 2 days, but that was the only one. And so what we're being taught here is that we got to live every day by our daily bread. Amen. Our daily bread. That's a relationship with God. Faith is a daily thing. All the way back to Genesis. God never said, come see me on the weekends, guys. Live however you want to live. Just, I'll see you on the weekend. Do you know that a lot of people have stunted their growth in Christianity because they have a weekend mentality? You cannot live on Sunday's messages. You cannot! Every day you need to be eating of Jesus Christ. Every day drinking His life. Eating His flesh. Come on, am I preaching good? Every day. You cannot have a weekend mentality. It's not in the Garden of Eden. It's not what Jesus came to restore. Some people don't even have a weekend mentality. They're CEOs. Only. Christmas, Easter only. You can't live on Christmas, Easter only. Have you noticed? I pray it's one of the things you love about Grace Church. Have you noticed we have a real emphasis on you living and abiding with Jesus on a daily basis? Man, if they came and got us and shut all churches down in this country, it wouldn't affect us. We'd keep eating and drinking of Jesus Christ every single day. You can't stop Him. He is Spirit. He is Spirit. You can't stop Him. My wife's at home doing laundry, February 23rd, in the closet. And Jesus blew into the closet. Pass legislation on that, Senator. You can't stop him. Right now, there's a church movement in Iran. The body of Christ in Iran is emerging. In China, you can't stop him. You cannot stop the living God. That's what I just said. That's what the Spirit just said. My goodness. You can't store up manna and then come back, you know, get enough on Sunday morning to last all week. Can I get a witness that God, the manna was supernatural? There's substance in that food that could have lasted 6 or 7 days. He could have done that. It could have lasted 40 days. Come eat the manna, come back in 30 days, eat again. He didn't do that because there's a principle, because Jesus, the bread of life, was coming, and we ought to be eating and drinking of him every single day. Abiding in him every day. And you go out first thing in the morning. Man, first thing in the morning, he ought to be the first thing you think about. He ought to be the first thing you're partaking of. Come on, somebody. Some of you, you're addicted to coffee. I know you are. But the first thing, the first thing you ought to be drinking of is him. And coffee. Yes, I love coffee too. I actually saw a shirt the other day that said, I don't really love coffee, I love creamer. That's me. That's me. Rick, amen. Italian sweet cream all the way. Ah, Hebrews coffee. Ah, gotcha. Okay, so scratch all that. The principle is the first thing we ought to be doing is good morning, Lord. Not good Lord, it's morning. Good morning, Lord. What do you got for us today? Let's have some coffee, shall we? If they tried to store up the manna, the worms would come and eat it up supernaturally. They could not store it. They could not gather more than just for the day. That's incredible. Give us this day our daily bread. I got one more. Matthew 4:4. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, ongoing present tense, out of the mouth of God. Amen. They could shut down the church. You can't meet on church. Jesus is still gonna, his kingdom's gonna keep on advancing in the hearts of men. They could take all our Bibles away and burn them in a big pile. He's still gonna talk to us. We'll write new ones. Amen. By the Spirit. We write some new ones. Amen. God wanted to make sure that we understood it's a day-to-day walk with Christ our vine, that every day should begin with abiding in Jesus Christ, because we need his love every day. We need his power every day. We need his Spirit every day. We need his word every day. And we got to lose our weekend mentality. And I honestly, probably not a lot of people here have that. But if you do have it, you need to get rid of it. You need to be eating of him every day. And you know, what a breakthrough, what a revelation at Prayer Shield yesterday. One of the things we saw was that, I mean, I'm sweating. I need to get one of those T.D. Jakes towels. Jerry. No, not a tissue. A nice purple one. We're at Prayer Shield yesterday, and it hits us like a bolt of lightning that it's not just, okay, everybody can walk out here and say, I know I need to be eating and drinking of Jesus every day. Okay, that's what I ought to be doing. But you know what another revelation is? Lord, what am I eating on every day? What a breakthrough. When we did that retreat back at Students of Grace, took Students of Grace to Anadarko, Gretchen did a lesson on identity in this thing called Identity Box. One of the young people had a real breakthrough because he said, you know, I've been at Grace for many years, and so I know who I am in Christ. I hear that all the time. What that tool revealed to him was, here's all the things I am getting my identity from. He knew he should get it from Christ, but in practicum, she was able to, by the work of the Holy Spirit, he saw, here's the things I am getting identity from. So I think that's a revelation you need too. Lord, what are the things I am feeding on? What is supplying me or attempting to supply me life every day? Because I want it gone. And I don't mean like if your job is where you get your stroke, you quit your job. I mean, Lord, that's wrong priority. I want to get my life and my value from you while I'm working. There we go. All right. God's built it into the system where we depend on Him every day. He wants us to trust and abide in Him every day. And then number three, Gavin, you guys can come. The manna was all the life and health they needed. My goodness, church, this is amazing. Do you realize that somehow in that manna every day was the vitamin, sustenance, and nutrition to sustain them for 40 years? My goodness. I mean, we live in a culture today. We don't know what we're doing. One day it's, you know, there's a study and then you should eat eggs. Everybody eat eggs. And then 3 years later, it's a new study. They're like, man, don't eat eggs. Oh my gosh. Drink coffee. It's good for you. Then 3 years later, we did a study. It's terrible. Don't do it. What would they say about manna? 40 years, the life and nutrition they needed was in that bread. Amen. What am I saying? Well, I think what the Holy Spirit is saying is that the life and attitude, the demeanor of Jesus Christ is life and health to you. I know we want to eat right, but if you're taking up grudges, worry, anxiety, and fear, you're hurting your body. Jesus never gave way to worry, anxiety, and fear. Every attitude that He taught and every principle that He taught and He demonstrated is life-giving and health-producing for human beings. We see that in the manna. They would go get that manna every day, and somehow, supernaturally, it was life and health to their body. I'm telling you what Jesus is, what He teaches, His principles, His demeanor, His attitude, love over hate, amen, forgiveness over unforgiveness, life-giving and health-producing for your body and your mind. He doesn't say to forgive just for your spiritual health. He says forgive for your mental health and for your physical health. Does that make sense? You pass on to your body the health or unhealth of your thought life and your emotions. And I'm telling you, what we see in the mystery of the manna is there's life and nutrition in walking in Jesus Christ's ways. Life and health to you. Will you stand with me? Wow, amen. Woo! Can we lift our hands? Come on, let's lift our hands in His presence. Father, we bless You. We worship You right now. We worship You. We worship You. Lord, Your spirit, Your attitude, Your demeanor, Lord, lifts us out of worry. It lifts us out of fear. It lifts us out of negative emotions that try to poison our body and poison our mind. You are health to us. And we glory in Your embrace here this morning. We glory in Your embrace. Lord, we know we need You every day. We know that You're the only way. And we know that You're life and health to us. I do pray this morning supernaturally for those that do battle anxiety and fear and worry and those things. Father, I ask that in the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, Lord, those would be driven out as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, in its place would come this daily abiding, this daily feeding on You, feeding on truth, feeding on Your principles, feeding on Your spirit, Lord, receiving Your love. There's somebody here and you struggle judging yourself unworthy of the love of God. Listen, honey, it was never about you. He loves you because of who He is, not because of what you do. So you need to rest in the love of God. You need to receive it on a daily basis and partake of it. It was never about your worthiness. It's just about your willingness. Will you eat of Him? Will you receive of Him? Brother Gavin, let's just sing this before we dismiss. Let's just sing this chorus, guys. And just revel in His love. Revel in His presence.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.